Tonight, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. I kept you a little over this morning. I won't do that tonight, that's for sure. Psalm 127. Good to have you. Had a good crowd, especially in the second service, and a fair crowd in the first service, but good to have you tonight. Psalm 127. I want to talk to you about the need of the hour tonight, America's greatest need. Here's what it is. Psalm 127. How many of you think you know what America's greatest need is? I'm going to see if you're right. Psalm 127. The Bible reads, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." Martha and I had an experience many years ago that many of you have had, and that experience was building a new house. The pastor's home was destroyed one Sunday night about this hour, about 6 o'clock in February of 1970, I think it was, 70, 71. Tornado came through there, sudden major, and tore up our home. We went to the back door of the church. I heard the wind outside, and I told the people to hit the deck. They crawled under the pews in the church. The only one injury in the whole church, and that was my daughter. I only had one daughter then. Pam was cut up a little bit. But everybody else escaped without injury. But one of my deacons went to the back door and had a glass. Part of the door was glass. Looked out and he said, "The preacher's house is gone." And it was gone. And so the building committee came to Martha and they said, "Martha, you pick out the plan you want. Pick out the floor plan you want. Pick out the colors you want. Pick out just what you want. You pick it out and we'll build it." And they did. They built it and we paid for it. And we built, while I was a pastor, we built a new sanctuary and we built a new educational building. We built a new parking lot. Did everything and paid it off in just a few years because the people had a mind to work. Built a new home. It was the only new home I've ever built. I built on some rooms to my house at Ozark, but it wasn't a new home altogether. My dream, see, you could tell you that my dream one day is, if I live long enough, Randy, my dream is to build an A-frame home. I want to build an A-frame. I want to get me a place in the country, back in the woods somewhere, and I want to build an A-frame with two fireplaces in it, Buck, and build it so the kids can sleep up in the loft. And I got a dream. That's my dream, to build that house one day. Now the Bible says here in Psalm 127, that's what it's all about. Psalm 127 really is about home building. That's what it's about. Psalm 127, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." And I tell you, I think, Ben, the greatest need in America tonight is a Christian home. Amen? For Christian homes. We need godly homes. Because you know really what that's what we need on Fort Rucker. That's what we need in Enterprise. That's what we need in Coffee County. They need it, Robbie, in Sampson, Alabama. We need Christian homes because really, homes, a city is nothing but a collection of homes. And the Bible says here, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." And home building, I want to tell you something. That God had a plan. I'll make 3 or 4 points tonight. But I want to tell you that no matter how expensive your house is, you can have a house that costs $50,000 or $250,000, but you don't really have a home until you dedicate it to God. Amen? Don't have a home until you dedicate it to God. And I want to tell you that about 4,000 times a day across America, a man and a woman stand before a minister or a judge, and they exchange marriage vows, and they begin a home. and they need the Word of God. I'll make 4 points real quick about Psalm 127 because it talks about how to build and maintain the home. And that is the greatest need of our hour. I believe that was a problem when they get right down to it, what Jason just prayed about right here, when they get right down to the brass tacks and find out if we knew what was going on in the mind, a lot of it goes back to the home. It goes back to the home. And meant most of our problems today. But I want to tell you, make 4 points. Number one, the plan for the home. I want to say that God has a plan. God is the greatest home builder. He has a blueprint. He built the first home in the Garden of Eden. He started with Adam, and he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a fitting help or help meet for him. And God made Eve for Adam. And I want to just tell you that the first institution of God among men was not the school or the church or the government. The first institution of God among men, Kelly, was the home. And God knows how to build a home. It was God's plan for one woman, but for one man, for life. That was God's plan. Now, I don't care what they vote today, and that's really the sad thing about a lot of legislation and same-sex marriage and all that. That is a sad thing. That is not God's plan. That is not God's plan. I don't care what anybody says. And I tell you, if God, Satan knows that if he can wreck our homes, he can do what? Are y'all asleep tonight? He can wreck the nation. He can wreck our nation. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, you reap what you sow. Now I want to say that sadly, 40 to 50% of the marriages fail today. But where both the husband and the wife know the Lord and they pray together and they worship together, the percentage is something like 1 in 1,000, Ben, something like that. I've read this. Now I want to say this, and I tell young couples this. 3 great decisions in life. Your master, your mate, and your mission. 3 great decisions in life. Your master is first of all. Number 2 is your mate. Number 3 is your mission. Now I want to tell you, God has a perfect plan. And I've told couples this all the years of my ministry. I want to say this. I've had to deal with this in my own life. What happens when people when they make a mistake? When they miss God's plan? I told some young deacons this afternoon, the great news is, if you've done that, the great news is Jeremiah 18, God told Jeremiah one day to go down to the potter's shop. I want to teach you a lesson. He preached him a sermon down there. And I tell you what he told him, Mary Cannon. He said, look at that potter on the wheel. He's shaping that vessel. But the vessel was marred. It was in the hands of the potter. It was marred. But God told him, Jeremiah said, I can mend that vessel. I can remake it. I can remold it. And I want to just tell you tonight, if you're here and life hadn't been perfect and you miss God's plan, he can remold your life. He can do that. He can give you a second chance. He can give you a third chance. God always, I don't care how bad you messed up, God always has a backup plan. God always has another plan. But I want to say this. God has a plan for the home. And number, I had one lady say she messed up so bad that, you know, it was too late. Too late. But I told Joyce, it's never too late for God. Where there's life, there's hope. He has a backup plan. That's really what the gospel is all about. But God has a plan for the home. One man for one woman for life. Number 2, the protection of the home. The Bible says here in verse 1, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Because the city is nothing but a collection of homes. And what he's saying here, the Lord's saying, we cannot build homes and we cannot make them stand without him. There are a lot of enemies to the home today. You could have your own list, but here's my list. I say television is a big enemy to the home today. Television. Because we are part of all that we see and that we hear. And there's a lot of poison stuff on television. Now I want to tell you something. You're looking at a guy. I love movies as much as anybody in this. Any of y'all love movies? Be honest about it. I love a movie. My chairman of deacons, he loves movies. Is that right? And I see him sometime. He say, we got to eat early. We got to eat quick tonight. I see him at Cuts on Friday night. And Dr. Joe said, we got to eat fast because we're trying to make the 7 o'clock movie. And then I've seen him other times. He said, we got to make the 9 o'clock movie. And, you know, so I love movies. But I'm going to tell you this. Let me just say this to you. There's some things we don't need to put in our mind, and things if they're movies that lead to immoral thinking, then probably we don't need to put that stuff in our mind. It's a dangerous thing, because I tell you, adultery is rampant in our day, and adultery was a sin. You know what the penalty for adultery was in the Old Testament? What was it? Stone to death. Kill them. And so I want to just tell you that I think the enemy to the home is television. I think another is alcohol abuse. And I've dealt with that so much in my life. I think I told you a story one time. I buried four of my best friends. They were hit by a head-on by a driver. Hit head-on. I did two double funerals. And then another thing I think is materialism. A lot of people want to keep up with the Joneses. Keep up with the Joneses. They go into debt. Get a lot of debt. I dealt with a lot of soldiers that get deep into debt. John, you probably have dealt with some in your military career. They got so deep in debt and they wanted things, they buying things they couldn't afford. Materialism is an enemy. Then another is selfishness. I know people that they're going to have their way. They want to have their way no matter what. They got to have their way. And even if it tears up their home, selfishness is, a lot of it's immaturity. Immaturity. And some of them do that. I love Matt says, one of his pet sayings. If you ever been around Matt Smith very long, he says this. Here's a pet saying. He said, those people need to put on the big boy pants. I like it. People need to grow up and just grow up and put on their big boy pants. And then another thing today, and another enemy of the home, I think, is stress. And it's no wonder homes are breaking down. One woman said, why do I need a house? I was born in a hospital, educated in a college, courted in an automobile, married in a church, eat in a restaurant. Why do I need a home? That's pretty good, isn't it? Stress is another. Third thing I want to say is God is the protection of the home. Number one, He has a plan. He is a protection. He said, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Third thing I want to say is the peace of the home. What is God saying? He's saying that if He builds it and protect, that He will protect and protects it. If He builds it, protects it, we need to rest in Him. We need to rest. Don't need to be running around trying to burn the candle at both ends. A lot of people are so busy making a living, they don't make a life. And it's been well said. Somebody described Americans. They said spend the first half of their life losing their health, trying to get wealth, and then what's the other side? Second half, they do what? Spend all the wealth to get back their health, and they lose on both sides of it. God has a plan. He said that we ought to have peace. And I like this one. David said, once I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken of his seed begging bread. And that comes to the fourth point, and that is children, the product of the home. I say God has a plan. Number one, God has a plan. Number two, protection of the home. Number three is peace in the home. And number four is the product of the home. What is a product? He talks about that in verse 3 and 4. He said, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. I'm looking at Gene and Moultrie back there tonight. Do y'all believe Mo Sessions is a... Do you think he's a reward from the Lord? I believe he is. And I believe that about my three kids. They're a reward from the Lord. You know, and I want to tell you, people... It's a wonderful thing, not a burden to me. Beverly, your kids a burden? No, they're a blessing. And I would say, we can all say that. And while a lot of people are going after cars and clothes and material things, God's been good to us. God, and been wonderful to let me be the daddy of three kids. And I've tried to raise them for the Lord. Somebody said, kids make a rich man poor, but they make a poor man rich. Is that right, Buck? I believe it's true. And if God gives them to us, He will provide for them. And the Bible says, David said, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And he says, children here are like arrows. He says this, He said, verse 4, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. And what he says here is these children like arrows, and their lives need to be shaped, and they needed to be pointed in the right direction. I'll make 3 points and I'll close about the product of the home. Kids need 3 things. They need, number one, authority today. Need to begin at an early age. Character is built at an early age. I have a grandson. See, and I have a grandson. His name is Jack. They sent us a picture last week of Jack. He was playing ice hockey in Fayetteville, North Carolina. He's 6 years old. He was playing with the 10-year-olds. He is something. We call him Jack in the Box. His name, he's Jack. And he's just an athlete, natural athlete. He got a brother, 13, and see, I tell you, he could probably whip Marky right now, couldn't he, see it? Mark is 13, and his little sister is 10, but I bet you Jack could whip both of them. And maybe he's tough. I mean, he is really tough. I say he's going to be a West Point football player. But I want to tell you that the product of the home, and I'm so glad to have these. I'm so glad that I've had 3 kids, and I'm proud of them. But what I'll say about him was, Jack's going to have to be broken. His spirit will have to be broken. He needs authority because character is built early. And I've told him, you're going to have to break his spirit sometime, sooner or later, get his attention. But Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's the promise, that's the word of God. I know my mama's. She rested in that promise, and she claimed that promise for me. You need to build values and teach kids right from wrong. They don't just absorb it through their culture. I don't believe, Trish, they'll get it today. Do you? You think kids will get it in their culture today? I don't think so. We need to give them God's word. We need to give them some thou shalt and thou shalt not situation ethics. One teenager said it's no fun to play if you don't even know where the sideline is. So we need authority. Number two, we need discipline. And what I'm talking about is old-fashioned discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spares the rod hates his son. I've had parents that say, and I know that's passe. I know today is time out and all of that, and that's good. Go sit in the corner. But, you know, I still believe in what my daddy gave me. And I tell you this, I would rather have 100 whippings from my mama than one from my daddy. I thought when my dad would whip me, Jim, he'd kill us. I thought he would. But he didn't kill me. But he put something in me. He put some value. And I'm not talking about abusing children. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in abusing kids. Anybody that abuses a child ought to be whipped himself. But I want to tell you, a child that does not respect authority in the home will not respect authority in the school. He will not respect authority in the community or in the street. He won't respect authority anywhere. And that's why yesterday I talked to some people. C and I went to a gathering at Fort Rucker last night, and I sat one of our state representatives, Paul Lee. Anybody know Paul? He's from Dothan, Alabama. He's the state representative. And he said one of the things they face in these budget cuts, one of the things they face is they just have a limited amount of money. And he said our prisons are 98% full. And he said one thing we're considering right now is turning out about 25% of the people who are hadn't committed serious crimes. It wouldn't be a threat to society. He said we're talking about doing that and put one of these ankle bands on them. They can't leave home anything, but they would have to feed themselves and they would have to be responsible for their own medical care. And he said, we're just trying to figure out how we can make that budget. And we got a jail, and jail's running over. And the problem is, you know what the problem is, don't you? And another problem is, of course, many of our kids today, over half probably, are born out of wedlock, aren't they? I don't know. They gave during this, I've read a lot of statistics on this, but many of them are born out of wedlock. And so they don't know what a traditional home is. They weren't raised like many of us were with two parents, with a mom and daddy. And that's one thing our president has said. And if you read the Dothan Eagle yesterday, the editorial page, they said they were saying that President Obama needs to speak even louder about having a dad, having a mom and daddy in the home. He needs to speak louder. I tell you, that's the number one need in America tonight. And I don't know if we can't change that. I don't know, Jimmy. I don't know if we can't change that. I don't know what our hope is. I'm glad I know the Lord. But I'll close by saying this. Tonight, we need people to say, we need some mamas and daddies that realize that as our homes go, so will go Enterprise, Alabama. So will go the world. And by the way, I think we almost live in Mayberry here. As compared to the rest of Alabama and the world, we live almost in Mayberry here. Now I wish we'd fill this church up on Sunday night. But I'm not going to whip the people that came. You where you ought to be. You're a child of God and you're in church tonight. And I think it's a testimony to the world. And I commend you for being here. I'm sad that 90% of the rest of our membership's not here. You're probably about 10% of the membership. I wish they were all here in God's house. Now, I believe everybody needs this message. We need to know what, I believe our young people need this. You believe that? Young people need to know the Word of God. And the challenge, Clark, for you is you and Jackson, and I hope, are you healing good? Amen. But the challenge for you guys is to say like old Joshua did. Know what he said? The last thing he said in the book of Joshua, he said, as for me and my house. Not what everybody else does. Not where the majority is going. Not what others fail to do. And I think, John, back to my, when I was raised as a boy in Mississippi. I was one of six kids. Y'all heard this story before. Y'all going to get tired of hearing stories on Mississippi, aren't you? But Chester, I was raised in a four-room bungalow house. Didn't have an indoor toilet. We didn't have running water. We didn't have a lot of things like people have today. But we had a lot of love in that house. And guess what the highlight of the day was? The highlight of the day, Beth, was when at the close of the day, before the six kids, we slept in one bedroom together. And my mom and dad slept in the room. We called it the living room, but their bed was in that room. Then we had a little kitchen on one room and a dining room. And that was our house. And a big old long porch on the front. But the highlight of the day, Bev, was when the day was over, they'd get down the old family Bible. And Randy, it had a picture of Samson on the front of it. I'll never forget it. It was a picture Bible. And it had old Samson. And guess he had his arms wrapped around those pillars just before he died. Old Samson. I'll never forget it. And they'd take down the old family Bible. And we'd read the Word of God together. I've been in a lot of revival meetings. Been spoken to a lot of people across the years. But I've never been to anything so precious to me. As I look back now, Edith, nothing so precious to me. It's pretty special when me and Celia pray at night. And we read with Doris in the morning, read our little daily bread. Those are precious moments. But no, nothing more precious to me as a man that's lived a long time than to go back into the memories of childhood days and when we'd read, John, that old family Bible and we'd pray together. Mom and daddy and six kids. That's about all they had. But my daddy was a rich man. Went to heaven early. I told Stan on Friday morning, and Ben and I went out to see him and said, Matt went with me. And I told him, I said, you're blessed and you had your daddy all these years. I had my daddy just 15 years. And he went to heaven. But my daddy could say tonight, But he could have said it the night he went to heaven, the day he went to heaven. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. I hope you got that kind of daddy. And more than that, I hope if you're a daddy, I hope you are that kind of daddy. You could say, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. The greatest need of the hour is for Christian homes. I hope they settle this fiscal cliff. I hope they do whatever they're supposed to do. I don't know if I got a dog in that fight. Maybe I do. Maybe it'll affect all of them. Personally, I think we need to pay the debts. We need to pay. We need on behalf of our kids and grandkids. It'll take a bigger mind, a bigger brain than mine to figure it all out. But I think the greatest need of the hour, greater than anything else I know of, greater than any project in Enterprise, Alabama, is for Christian homes. That's the need of the hour. Psalm 127, it says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. And unless the Lord keeps the city, unless he protects the city, the laborers, the watchmen, do it in vain. John, you've spent your life, you had a life in the military, hadn't you? But unless the Lord protects us, the Air Force, we don't have enough missiles or planes or gun, unless the Lord. And you don't have, unless the Lord does something at your house, unless the Lord builds a house. He's away now building our spiritual home, isn't he? He's building, preparing a home for us. And the Bible says since the foundation of the world, he's been preparing that home. One day we're really going home, huh? We're going like Jim Windham. I'm preaching his funeral tomorrow, doing a graveside. And you know what he did? It's the most strangest thing I ever heard of, Bo. You know what he did? He wrote it all out for me. I got 2 or 3 pages. He said, I don't want a sermon. I want you to read this. Here's what I told him about coming to Christ and how he's trusted. He got it all written out for me. I can go home, go to bed tonight. I don't even have to think about what I'm going to say because he's written it all out for me. Isn't that good? As for me and my house, we trust the Lord.